Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to Storyboards with S. Tarcombe, brought to you by a team of voices. A team of voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping the site up and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. I also like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page so that we can geek out live. Also, a special thanks to AP Taylor for sponsoring the blog talk page. Again, Team of Voices does different shows every night of the week. We span from different hosts, different themes. Here on Storyboards, we focus on characters, comic book havens, D&D, all the in-betweens. We like to geek it out here. Oh, I have a lot of callers already. 9 o'clock is a hot hour, I think. I will get to the music in a little bit. I am going to let my callers on first. And the first one we have, is this Wayne or Sweet Pea?
This is Sweet Pea.
Sweet, that's what I thought, but I didn't see you. I didn't see you have poems, so I was like, "Huh, hi."
Haven't put it up. I'm good. I just put it up there.
Oh, great! How are you doing?
I'm good.
Great.
You're excited.
I'm super excited too. I'm so excited. I have so much energy tonight. I have another call. Oh, I don't even know why I didn't. I need to let on somebody else who's been here a week before you, but I was so confused on what number this was. Rack and Tor, I'm so sorry. Hello, Rack.
I didn't see you either, Rack, so good.
You're such a patient man. All right, and then we also have, hi, Deb.
Hello.
How are you guys doing? Wow.
Doing okay. How about you?
Good. I'm coming live from you, and I think I'm echoing so bad, and my apartment's so big from my new apartment that I'm sleeping in for the first time tonight. I'm using somebody else's internet. I think it's my landlord's. It's fine.
That's exciting, Sky. Did you get a new place because of the photos you sent?
That is one of the reasons, yes. Yes, yes it is. So,
congrats on
my studio. My studio wasn't going to be cutting things. I really need a bigger space anyway. So I'm so excited. I have lots of room, and I'm still on a little bit of an energy. So if I am a little hyped up tonight, I've got it's because all the movement I did today after work too. I picked up my godsons and I said, okay, let's go. And they're like, what? I'm like, we're moving into a new house. And they're like, okay, they're such good boys. They did a lot of the heavy lifting.
That's really awesome.
So, yeah. Now, Sweet Pea, I know Deb usually can't hang out for too long. Are you also? What are we looking at right now?
I got about 45 minutes for you tonight.
Ooh, wow.
I know.
That's awesome. Okay. I am going to drop Deb. Now, Deb, do you just have one or do you have two for me today?
I just have one because I have to leave in 7 minutes to get my son.
Okay.
I guess you didn't see my message I sent. No big deal.
Was it? Oh, no. Okay, I see.
No big deal. It's
all
working
right.
Out.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and I chose a quote from Season 3, Episode 5, and that quote is, "Perhaps it's time for us to live in the light once again." And the poem is called, "Mankind Cannot Thrive Without Light from the Sun." Here we go. "Climb up from the darkness to thrive outside of the shadows. As sunlight spreads heated air on the ground and seas. Bathe beneath tangerine-tinted rays the flaming sun throws. breathe the land's cologne as it floats in the warm breeze. As sunlight spreads heated air on the ground and in seas, the pillars of light chase the shadows, then flowers bloom. Breathe the land's cologne as it floats in the warm breeze, blended by Mother Earth's garden of sweet petal perfume. The pillars of light chase the shadows, then flowers bloom. Blossoms feed honeybees that fill honeycombs with honey. Blended by Mother Earth's garden of sweet petal perfume. Without the light, darkness kills all the colors the eyes see. Blossoms feed honeybees that fill honeycombs with honey. Bathe neath tangerine-tinted rays the flaming sun throws. Without the light, darkness kills all the colors the eyes see. Climb up from the darkness to thrive out of the shadows. End poem.
Excellent. What a wonderful way to take the quote, too. And I love how you spin these lines and obviously through the form for this and how the repetition, I think, really brings it home, especially when you're looking at these lines, like, climb up from the darkness to thrive out of the shadows. And then, of course, because of the form, you bring it through towards the end and how the lines switch, I think it's brilliantly done. I also like how you bring in sunlight healing, because for a lot of people, I mean, I know that you're speaking of the ground and the seas, and of course, the sun is healing to the earth, but it's also healing to our bodies. And I know sometimes when I don't get enough sun, you gotta sit in the sunlight for a little bit, and you're just like, or you gotta like take a vitamin D supplement just to get those chemicals in. But the real stuff is the best stuff. And so I love how you bring that, and I love how you say its healing properties, of course. And it was really cool how you said, breathe the land's cologne. I liked how you put that in there as cologne. I thought that was, usually I see like perfume, and you do have perfume in there with a sweet petal perfume. But I like how you even said that with the land's cologne, like you went even further. And I don't think, like I've heard perfumed flowers and perfumes and things of that nature, but I don't think I've ever read a cologne. So I liked that about it. And I like how the lines interchange with each other. And that's not as, I mean, some people are like, oh, yeah, just write these lines and then say them over again. But it's actually harder than it seems, because you have to make sure that they coincide interchangeably. And so you have to be very particular about even how you word the line, because you have to make sure they fit in all areas and not sound forced. And that can be more complex than people think. So I really enjoyed that as well. Excellent piece, and I appreciate you. But maybe some comments so you can skip on out of here. Black and Swirl, what do you think?
You know, she said the land's cologne, and my mind went straight to Jersey because, you know, Jersey's known for its odoriferousness. So, you know. I know that's not, but there is a certain scent that does become predominant in the air when the sun hits it, which, you know, it can be very soothing depending on what's in the area. You know, if it's a farming area and there are cows, it's a little different than, you know, just being like in a field. But, you know, there's that feeling that the sun definitely changes things. And to me, you know, it always makes me feel alive when I feel the sun on my skin. Like, you know, Sky was saying about, you know, the vitamin D. There's just something about it that it makes you feel different. And I'm sure it's no different for the land and what you would some might consider inanimate, but is definitely very alive. You know, and everything below in the soil and everything, you know, comes to life too. At the same time, it brings it all out. You know, so you talked about that in a wonderful way.
Thank you very much, Rack. Great comment.
I'm sure she's calling on you, Sweet Pea, even if you can't hear her.
I'm unmuted. Am I unmuted?
You're
I don't know where you went.
You did?
I don't know.
I must be muted because I don't hear her at all.
I don't hear her at all either. We lost her. We lost our hostess with the mostess. Oh, no.
Why don't you call up the Dev, and I'm sure she'll wander back.
Yeah, she's gone. We lost her. Anyway, I'm so dark, I have to take 50,000 prescription strength vitamin D a week, actually twice a week, because I don't absorb it. But anyway, I like the message in your poem. I think those that don't live in the light or try to live in the light a little more, as I put in your comment, turn into bitter flowers, and no one likes them, especially the bees. It has your spin on all the lovely things that it does. So I think it's brilliant, Deb, your imagery, your setup, your storyline, everything, because it is time for our children to be able to play in the light. I think we've lived in too much darkness, and between, you know, wars and COVID and all of that, I think it, you know, Mandalorian talks about it, but I think it's a message for humans here on Earth too. I think it's brilliant.
Thank you so much. And I got to go, so when Sky gets back, maybe you could ask her to just plug my show for me. And Raconteur, she left a message on the board. Her phone froze. She has to reboot it. Just run things for her till she gets back.
I figured from the silence.
All right.
So it just leaves you and me, sweet.
All right.
At least for a few minutes.
No, because I think Hatter's here. Hi, Hatter.
Hi.
Isn't that one big Hatter? I was going to say, that's Hatter. It's not just you and me. There's a Hatter here.
The notoriously muted Hatter. He's another one that's different.
I'm very sorry. I am very, very sorry.
Oh, she's bad.
So my
phone's
been doing this weird thing where I can't press anything. So I'm going to have to, when I mute, I'm going to just have to mute myself in the studio just to make sure that it doesn't happen. All right. So thank you, Sweet Pea, just commented. And Hatter, hi. Deb dropped. Thank you, Deb, for calling in. Hi. Did Hatter comment? Did you hear Deb's poem? Hatter?
You're going to have to give me a minute, please.
Okay, great. Okay, we all need a minute. Whew! That was chaos. I've never had anybody call into my show ever in like the 3.5 years that I've been doing the show. I've never had to do that. So that is chaos. Thank you all for bearing with me. Deb, thank you so much. I know you had to go. I really appreciate you bringing that poem and being wonderful. I'm going to, since Sweet Pea gives me 45 minutes, I'm going to play my first clip, and then I'm going to drop Sweet Pea's poem. All right, so let's all get our bearings together. I'll play my first clip, and then we'll drop Sweet Pea. Okay? Is that okay, Sweet?
Perfect.
Perfect. Okay, that will give us all a moment to recover from the chaos.
I swear on my name and the names of the ancestors.
That I shall walk the way of the Mandalore.
That I shall walk the way of the Mandalore.
And the words of the creed shall be forever forged in my heart.
And the words of the creed shall be forever forged in my heart.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
From this moment on, I shall never remove my helmet.
From this moment on, I shall never...
Mandalorian.
The Creed teaches us of redemption.
Redemption is no longer possible since the destruction of our homeworld.
But what if the minds of Mandalore still exist?
All was destroyed in the Purge.
Is this inscription not Mandalorian?
Come upon this?
Jawas. They came upon it by trade from a traveler who claimed to have visited the surface of Mandalore.
And this relic only proves that Mandalore's entire surface has been crystallized by fusion rays.
But a traveler was able to retrieve this, so perhaps it is not poisoned. If I visit the planet and I can bring you proof that I have bathed in the living waters beneath the mines of Mandalore, then by creed, the decree of exile will be lifted and I would be redeemed.
There's nothing left to join.
What of your plans to retake Mandalore?
When I returned without the Darksaber, my forces melted away.
Where is the stolen fleet?
Making their way through the galaxy as mercenaries. Do you still have the Saber?
I do.
Then you lead them.
wave that thing around, and they'll do whatever you say.
So you gave up your designs to retake Mandalore?
Your cult gave up on Mandalore long before the Purge. Where were you then? The children of the Watch and all the factions that came before fractured and shattered our people. Go home. There's nothing left.
I am going to Mandalore so that I may bathe in the living waters and be forgiven for my transgressions.
You are a fool. There's nothing magic about the mines of Mandalore. They supplied Beskar ore to our ancestors, and the rest is superstition. That planet has been ravaged, plundered, and poisoned.
You said that the curse was a lie. Make up your mind.
If you want to go to the mines, be my guest. They're beneath the Civic Center in the city of Sundari.
Thank you. And I will find out if the planet is really poisoned.
Goodbye, Dinjarin.
All right, now that we're all settled and we're all okay. And I never mentioned, we are celebrating The Mandalorian Season 3. I just got done finishing it maybe last month. Brilliant show. I really enjoyed it. And disclaimer, I am still recovering from my cold that won't go away. So if I sound a little funny, it's because of that. But thank you guys for all being so patient. It's a little chaotic in the beginning. I do have another poem. let's just embrace the chaos at this point. I do have Sweet Pea up on the board, and we are ready when you are.
Or
when the puppy is.
You could have not put a better selection in front of this poem to save your life. We did not talk. This is just coincidence. My quote to this poem is, you have removed your helmet. You are no longer Mandalorian. Searching for the broken pieces of me.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead. I thought you were waiting for me to say something. Go ahead.
No.
Can you start over again? I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. My quote for this poem is, you have removed your helmet. You are no longer Mandalorian. Searching for the broken pieces of a Mandalorian. Grief infects his screaming bone, sucking out the marrow in bouts of unsolicited sorrow. Melodic voices fade as ears seek no memory. Calligraphy on scars script yesterday's agony. Dying, he searched for the broken pieces of a Mandalorian. Flesh combusts as trust burst into flames, burning palms from friendship, handshake, bonds. Eyes wide open, convinced the sheep are rabid hounds. Universal collateral, Mandalorians divided within. Preaching the ancient mandates of the way, one must bathe in the waters of masters and kings. All others walk in fake skins. Trusted not by his own or the town he governs, not accepted by his people for a face uncovered. Searching for peace in broken pieces yet discovered, for he is the Mandalorian. End poem.
Absolutely love it. You know, you're right. I couldn't have picked a better one, and I'm glad that I just put that up right before your poem, because that's what she says in your quote, so I thought that was quite brilliant, and it worked out very nicely, and I didn't pre-read your poem either, so I just flipped it. I love that you went through this, and I know that I don't think you've ever watched The Mandalorian, so the fact that you pulled this from either just a quote or the idea or
all three seasons.
You know. Oh, you watched all three seasons?
Yes, I love the show.
That makes me so happy. I usually get no one that watches any of the things that I put out here. That makes me so happy. Did you love the season finale? Like not the season, yeah, the season finale. I loved it. I thought it was, I was oh my god. Anyway, I thought this was beautiful. I loved how you focused on the factions, because that's one of the problems with Mandalore and the history of it. And Bo-Katan, I remember her way back from the Clone Wars and the animated series, and her sister, of course.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that.
And, well, so when I seen her in this live action, I was so, like, pity, because I remember her from the animated Clone Wars, and I remember her sister, that entire idea of Mandalore, and then to have it pulled over to live action and to see it, to see someone play it, I was just so thrilled when I saw her come in here. And but it, there is a fracture, and there's so many different groups and to all torn apart, and this planet is just, you know, they're divided. So I love how you focused on that and the idea of you know, the fact that he took it off to show his face to Grogu and what that cost him and what he had to do to gain his allegiance back. And into your words, the flesh combusts as trust bursts into flames, burning palms of friendship, handshake bonds. I love that part, and I'm sorry, I'm not really reading that quite as well as you. But then how the... Like, again, preaching the ancient mandates, like, of the way. And I love his version of what a Mandalorian looks like versus what Bo-Katan's version is, and how you see that the different factions have different rules and different ways to walk. And I love that you brought that in there. I love this wonderfully, and I love the ending, for he is the Mandalorian. Perfect. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let me get you a comment from Rakitor.
Oh, you know, I listen to this piece, and to me it feels very, I won't say religious, because, you know, they talk about being Mandalorian. It feels almost like a religion, but you describe it more like an emotion. Like, I mean, it's a part of the person. It's more than just a belief, and the way that it embeds itself into your being and how you govern yourself. I mean, if you take away the word Mandalore and like if you were discussing about being in love with someone, you know, the poem works equally well, because you've got all those emotions about how it goes in your veins and what you believe and how you act and everything else. So, you know, you really honed in on what they're describing in a way that's, you know, undeniable, because again, you know, they're saying Mandalorian, but that would fit for, you know, just about anything you're talking about that someone truly believes in, and you know, an emotion like love is something that they would. So, you know, I see the parallels to that in a lot of wonderful ways, and you know, it gives the poem a beautiful tenor. And, you know, a lot of depth.
Thank you, Rack.
Thanks so much, Rackentor. And Hatter.
I'm a bit confused. Isn't that the helmet of the bounty hunter?
Mandalorian is the bounty hunter, yes.
He is? Okay.
Yes.
I thought he was a bad guy.
No.
That's all point of view.
Okay.
So you're probably talking about Jango Fett, okay, in the original ones, right?
Yeah.
You're probably talking about. So you're talking about Jango. So Jango Fett wore Mandalorian armor because he was gifted it from the Mandalorians. So... and usually no one is allowed to wear Mandalorian armor, except for Mandalorian, but Jango Fett did wear it, and then he gave it to his son Boba Fett. So that's who you're thinking about. This is an actual Mandalorian with the Mandalorian armor. Jango Fett just happened to wear a suit of armor from the Mandalorian. Yeah, but he was not a Mandalorian.
Okay, and at this point of the story, he's got little Yoda on his back. Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's not Yoda.
It's not really Yoda. It's just Yoda. He's the same species as Yoda.
Yoda.
But what did you think about his home, though?
Yeah, I get into that. I'm trying to make sense of the Mandalorian diet. He says pieces of the Mandalorian. So he takes his helmet off, and he's no longer...
He breaks the law, basically, so he's an outcast. And so he's trying to get himself forgiven by the tribe, like the tribe of Mandalorians. So he's trying to get redemption. The only way to get redemption is to swim in this very holy pool. But the problem is that the planet that has these holy waters was demolished by enemies. So he's getting a fight that you can't go and swim in the holy water because the planet has been destroyed. But there are different factions of their religion, like Baptists and Catholics and Hindu, that they say it's okay, you don't have to wear the mask. So there's all this infighting among the species Mandalorian, just like humans, where we have Catholic, Hindu, and whatever. So he's trying to bring all the different religions of the Mandalorians together and say, we can live as one, our children should live in peace and all of that. So it's kind of that realm of the story where he's saying, we should be able to do this, our planet was destroyed, but we should be able to come together as one because so many of us were destroyed in this great, let's say, nuclear attack. So this is kind of that story of him seeking out other people that are still alive, all the Mandalorians, and bringing them together. But because there's so much destruction and so many different facets of their people, it's very difficult. So he's out seeking that peace and trying to bring them together.
That is the way.
So this is the way. I get it. I think I get it.
I don't have This Is the Way. Yeah, so, that's why in the middle of the clip she said, you're cults, because she's a different type of Mandalorian. She wasn't part of the Children of the Watch. She was part of the Magistrate, actually. Her family ruled Mandalore for a long time. So because she was really part of the Magistrate, her family, it should go down her, but he has the dark saber, and in their culture, whoever has the dark saber has the rightful...
whoever wins it in battle.
Yeah, whoever wins it in battle, it can't be gifted, has the right... The Mandalorians will follow them, and she doesn't have that, so...
Like Moses with the Ten Commandments.
So, she's like, I'm getting this... this analogy out here, yeah. That's how it is.
I have spoken.
World got blown up, they got scattered through the universe. So they're like,
it didn't
that.
Get blown up. Yeah, it wasn't like the Death Star blown up. It just got attacked. They call it the Great Purge because when Darth Vader and everybody took over, they pretty much killed all the Mandalorians and
sons of bitches.
Yeah. So their planet was basically poisoned and not sustainable. But they're gonna go in there and they're gonna, spoiler alert, because I always have spoiler alerts. They're going to go and find out that actually their planet is okay and that there are people still living there. Yeah.
And which movie is this storyline in, or is this your storyline?
This is the Mandalorian.
Mandalorian season, this is season 3, so I've already done 1 and 2 on storyboard.
Oh, okay.
And then I did Boba Fett, because the Book of Boba Fett falls in between season, so I'm doing them in chronological order. Plus, the season 3 just came out this year, so I had to wait. So, you know, I did season 1, season 2, and then I did the Book of Boba Fett because it lands in the middle, and then I did, and now this is the Mandalorian 3. And so,
was it surprising to everybody that this guy was a good guy now? Being that the first
no, because he was always a good guy because he's a different. He's not Jango Fett.
Oh, okay.
He's not Jango, okay. So he's a completely different character.
It wasn't so much that Jango was a bad guy. It was that he was known for doing what the Mandalorians do. And they were a race of bounty hunters, a race of people that had that quality about them, and that's why they went after him. It wasn't so much that it was evil or good. It was like, you know, here's your money,
whoever paid him.
They're mercenaries. You know that this is what they got paid to do, and they did it like nobody else.
Yeah. Exactly,
like Steve McQueen and Wanted Dead or Alive, being a bounty hunter. They didn't like him, but he's just doing a job. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Mandalore, the reason why it really got destroyed too is because they didn't pick a side. They wanted to stay neutral. So they didn't want to help either side. They were like, we're not getting in the middle of your fight. And so they wanted to stand alone. They weren't going to stand with, the new empire. You know, they were like, nope, we're not going to choose sides. And it ultimately ended up to their doom because, it just ended up their doom.
Okay.
But a lot of people didn't really matter because Alderaan picked a side and it got blown up by the Death Star. So I guess it doesn't really matter. So... it doesn't really matter. Anyway, Sweet Pea, I thank you so much for your brilliant poem. I love that you are able to also help kind of navigate the conversation too, because you know the fandom, which I'm not used to. That's so great.
especially from me.
I would say never from you. I mean, there are some things that you know, but when it comes to the Star Wars shows. Because with the newer ones, not a lot of people have been watching the newer ones because, a lot of them require subscriptions to Disney Plus, and some people are very much like, I only watch the original Star Wars, but I'm so thrilled. Now, did you see the Book of Boba Fett, or did you just watch The Mandalorian?
Watched Boba Fett. I watched Boba Fett. Right now I'm trying to figure out what the hell is his name? No, it's not got nothing to do with Star Wars. It's the Superman one. Lex, whatever his name is.
Lex Luthor.
Luthor.
No, it's not even Lex. It's Superman's Loki, the Loki series. I can't get a handle on that at all.
Oh, that's not Superman. That's Thor.
That's on Disney.
Yeah. Oh, I my brother has told me I need to watch that. He's like, you need to watch this right now. Yeah, Loki is Thor's brother. And guess what?
Thor's brother,
half brother.
Yeah, because a little half brother. Yes, you are right, half brother.
It's very odd.
Yeah, well, I didn't watch it yet, but this is a cool thing. So if you're watching it, you're going to have a Loki poem. And if you have a Loki poem, then you can write for my Down the Tubes next month, because Down the Tubes, I'm going to give you a little insight to Down the Tubes. I'm going to be doing, some Christmas stuff, where did this stuff come from, and where did we get Santa, and why do we have the mistletoe? And there are a lot of cool traditions that we have from Norse mythology, and Loki and Thor and Odin are Norse mythology. And some of the things that are there are 8 reindeer. Well, Loki turned into a horse to distract another horse because there was a big fight going on, and Loki got pregnant in horse form and had a baby.
What?
And the baby was 8. Yeah, it's weird. Just go with it. Just go with it.
It doesn't surprise me. With Loki, can do a lot of crazy crap.
So just go with it. And then I think Rack already heard this story, so he might not be as shocked. But actually, I don't know if I talked to Rack about this yet. But so Loki had an eight-legged horse, and then he gave it to his brother, and his brother Thor rode the horse around. And one of the people that they got the kind of Santa Claus from was based on Odin, and I just can't help but think, oh, well, wait, did they get the eight reindeer from the eight-legged horse? Like there are so many things that, and they do get certain things derived right from there. So it's just really fun. So if you have a Loki poem,
what
I am reading one.
What about Hella
Hella? Son.
Did you say eight-legged?
What's
Hella?
Yeah,
eight-legged.
An eight-legged horse.
Is there a picture of this?
His name is Sleipnir. Sleipnir. So I don't want to get too much into it because I want to talk about it on the show.
Right. Okay.
But what were you going to say about how it went?
Because I like their sister, Hella.
Yeah, I don't have anything. So a lot of my stuff is strictly, I mean, maybe I will go into Norse mythology a little bit, maybe later, just like random stuff. But right now I'm just like focusing on like where the mistletoe came from, because that is also from Norse, Frigg, which is Odin's wife, you know, and that's where, and then if you remember the days of the week, Frigg was named, Friday is named after Frigg, or Odin's, a.k.a. Odin's wife. And
right.
Another tradition we have from her, like there are traditions that we take, like the Christmas tree, and are taken straight from Norse mythology, not mythology, Norse tradition, and some mythology, yes. So it's just really cool. I'm still putting the show together. I watched this whole documentary, and I was just like, oh, and I knew a lot of the things that were traditions were based on different routes of, you know, mythology and or Norse mythology and even ancient, like, Egyptian mythology. But I never really took the time to figure out which was which and the details of it. And I had watched several documentaries in the past week. And I am so excited to bring them to the Down the Tubes on December. So that should be really fun. Well, do you want to plug your show first?
I don't have a show. It's Hatter's Thanksgiving week.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, we're doing Thursday. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Hatter.
Okay.
Hatter's
the so, thank you so much, Sweet Pea, for calling in, and I appreciate you, and I hope you have a beautiful Thanksgiving.
You too. I will talk to you guys soon. Have a great night.
I got sweet potato pie. I got sweet potato pie coming.
All right, good. I will be there. I will be there for a time to eat my sweet potato pie. Good night, guys.
Yep.
Good night.
Okay, so I'm going to plug some shows here. I don't have them quite in order, but I'm sorry. I didn't lie to you. I'm still pretty sick. Tomorrow night, I am on again. And it says
Deja
I'm on
vu.
8, but that's subject to change. Huh?
Deja vu.
Deja vu, except it's the land before time. You could write about dinosaurs. You could write about loss. You could write about journeys. You could write about friendships. This
or
has so lines. Many themes that are relative to human nature. Hatter, just look for a poem that has to do with any of the topics that I just said, and you can write a poem, and you can have a poem for tomorrow night, because The Land Before Time, I just love this movie. It is an animated film. There's beautiful artwork up there. It was the storyboards for the actual art, for the actual film that the artist did to inspire the film. Beautiful, beautiful artwork. And we're going to have some clips as always, and we're going to have fun, maybe some trivia. And like I said, the themes in this, it are across the board. He loses his mom. You know, there's loss. There's reaching for more beautiful things. And, of course, bonding and learning how to connect with people. Well, not people. It could be people, but, you know, there was lots of division, and they all have to band together. And I think those are beautiful themes, and you could probably find something in your poetry album to go with this. But that's on at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, and Thursday night. Yeah, my shows are usually on at 8. I pushed it to 9 tonight because I was moving. I got to be honest with you. It may move up tomorrow. It is moving up tomorrow. I have to move it up tomorrow because I have to – I don't know what. Maybe I don't have to move it up. Let me get back to you. It'll be on tomorrow at some point. I don't know. It may be pushed back. I don't think it's going to be pushed up, but let me reframe myself. But it may be pushed back, but right now it is 8 o'clock. Hatter,
yes.
What is happening Thursday?
Thursday I was just going to possibly do some trivia, so give away some points, some music, pretty much cater to whoever calls in. And that's always Pavlov's dog. Hear the bell, bark, drink, take a shot.
Okay. That's fun with that.
Nobody ever plays it with me. I gotta sit here and play with myself. I mean, play the game.
You take shots on air.
That makes the dog noise, and Hatter obediently drinks.
That's right. I got to hand myself my keys first.
Yeah, that's
hide them so I don't know where they are.
I don't know about the shots, but yeah.
take shots of cranberry juice.
That's what I said. I said, you guys don't have to drink. You guys can fake it. I don't care. I feel
okay.
I hate being alone.
We'll
have a good time on Thanksgiving.
Good. Okay, and then on the 24th, do you want to plug the Man Cave?
Man Cave is open poetry this week with A.P. Taylor, Deborah Lee, and myself.
Man Cave, not Hatterday Saturday, the Man Cave.
Oh, Man Cave. Oh, boy, I've got boom, 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 three in a row. It's that time of year.
Yeah. Hardest working man in poetry.
Man Cave, we basically leave open for anything that comes up. We talk about anything we want to. Usually it's about strange stuff that's happening around us or strange history, anything that boggles the mind. And Steven 76 will be here two more times. That he's not be with the Man Cave anymore. Moving on. So it'll be the last two, and he's got something special. I don't know if it's this one or the next one. In fact, it's this one. I don't know what it is. He told me it was going to be a surprise. So it'll be a surprise to you too. Me too. Friday.
All right. Friday. Awesome. Okay. So that is Friday, and then Saturday. Saturday's show.
Saturday. Yeah, it's an open poetry, I believe. It'd be Taylor, Deborah Lee, and myself. Call in if you. Yeah, you're gonna have to call in. Everybody call on Friday. Open poetry and nobody calls. That would not be a good.
Okay. All right, and then on Monday will be Deb's makeup show for the fall colors, and I had to go to sleep last night. I could not make it, and I was like, I really wanted to write for the show. So I hope that I've been able to do that. I'm being extremely busy this week, even though I do have some days off. But I love these pictures she has, so I'm really going to try to sit down and write. I'm going to try. But it is beautiful fall colors. And last week, if you remember, I just, for 5 minutes, I just scrolled it through, and I was like, oh, I like this one. I like that one. I won't do that this week, but they are gorgeous. She also has a word bank, as always. It is optional. that you can enjoy. She goes on at 10 o'clock on Monday, and her shows are always fun. All right, so we are, yeah, what?
Always the busiest night of the week.
Yeah, because they're so, so, so gorgeous. All right, so I'm going to play another clip, and then I know, Hatter, that you brought a poem. And then we also have a recording from Stephen, which is really exciting, too. So let me play my next clip, and we'll move forward with some more poetry. Okay, let's see. I'm played that one. Okay, here we go.
This was once a beautiful civilization. My family ruled it all. Now it's a tomb.
You're frightened, but I need you to guide me to him. Jedi, you know. I don't know what they taught you about us, but there was a time we actually got along quite well. Fought, side by side. Mm-hmm. How good are you with the Force? You must be quite good at it if you got back to me all alone. Did you think your dad was the only Mandalorian? Those are Alamites, and we were their next meal. They used to live in the surface wastelands beyond our cities. If they survived, I wonder what else might have to.
What happened?
I saved your life.
How did you find me?
Your kid. He's tougher than he looks. And he's quite the navigator.
Thank you for rescuing me. You were right. Mandalore is not cursed.
Was I? Look around. There's nothing left. The Great Society. Now memory. I once ruled here for a brief time. Now it's destroyed. Nothing to cling to but ashes.
What is this?
You've never eaten Pog soup.
No.
Can you appreciate the irony? Any Mandalorian worth their armor was raised on this since they were his size. You should rest. I'll get you back to my ship soon enough.
I'm not going with you.
What are you talking about?
I must continue to the mines of Mandalore so that I may be redeemed.
I honestly think that it's adorable that you actually believe these children's stories. But there's nothing magic about the waters.
Without the creed, what are we? What do we stand for? Our people are scattered like stars in the galaxy. The creed is how we survived. You rescued me, and I'll always be in your debt. But I can't go with you until I fulfill my obligation.
I will take you.
To the living waters?
Yes. You'd never find them on your own. Not in all this wreckage.
Thank you.
Don't thank me until you see them.
It's hard to believe that this all was once filled with our kind.
It wasn't that long ago. You'd never know it, looking at all this destruction.
It looks like it's been centuries.
The Empire set out to punish us. To wipe away our memory.
It must pain you to see it like this after witnessing its beauty.
What pains me is seeing our own kind fight one another time and time again. Killing each other for reasons too confusing to explain. It made us weak. We had no hope to resist being smashed by the fist of the Empire. There. The entrance to the mines of Mandalore.
This area looks much older.
The mines have been here for thousands of years. The living waters are in the chambers below.
Have you been there?
Yes, when I was a child.
Really?
I was part of the royal family. I took the creed and was showered with gifts. But the rituals were all just theater for our subjects. They loved watching the princess recite the Mandalorian tenets as her father looked on proudly. Such a heartwarming spectacle.
Maybe he was proud.
I know he was. I didn't embarrass him in front of everyone.
Your father sounds like an interesting man. I would have liked to have known him.
He was a great man. He died defending Mandalore.
This is the way.
What are you looking at? Here you go. The living waters. Hold on. I want you to get the full tour. These mines date back to the age of the first Mandalore. According to ancient folklore, the mines were once a Mythosaur lair. Mandalore the Great is said to have tamed the mythical beast. It is from these legends that the skull signet was adopted and became the symbol of our planet. This is it. Din, are you all right?
Not you who is lying.
He speaks the truth. I was witness.
And who are you, Night Owl?
I am Bo-Katan of Clan Kryze.
Your house has fallen from the way. You are both apostates.
We have been to the living waters.
I bring proof.
We shall see. Din Djarin claims to have bathed in the living waters.
Is this true?
It is. I have proof.
I was witness. He fell into the depths and I pulled him out.
Living waters. Din Djarin, you are redeemed. This is the way.
This is the way.
And Bo-Katan Kryze, by creed, you too are redeemed.
But I do not walk the way.
Did you bathe in the waters?
I did.
And have you removed your helmet since?
No, I have not.
Then you may join our covert and live as your ancestors once did. You may leave anytime you wish. Until then, you are one of us. Welcome, Bo-Katan of Clan Kryze. This is the way.
This is the way.
Mandalorian culture. Just as we shape the Mandalorian steel, we shape ourselves. We all begin as raw ore. We refine ourselves through trials and adversity. Tradition in our culture for each to donate a small portion of what they earn to the foundlings. It is with these scraps of Beskar that I forged your next piece of armor. Mandalorian steel shall keep you safe as you grow stronger. You will grow into this rondel as you grow into your station. Foundling Grogu. Bo-Katan Kryze, you have honored your house and all of Mandalore. You have done the highest honor of the creed, saving a foundling.
This is the way.
This is the way.
And we have brought you three more foundlings in need of care and training.
You're in need of a repair. Come with me.
I can replace what's missing, but not with its modern refinements. Shall I inlay the signet of the night owl?
Would it be acceptable to wear one baldron of the night owl and another with the mythosaur? The mythosaur belongs to all Mandalorians. It is always acceptable to wear.
I would like that. Vision?
No. I mean a real one. Beneath the living waters on Mandalore.
When you choose to walk the way of the Mandalore, you will see many things.
But it was real.
This is the way.
Captain Carson Tava, Adelphi Rangers. I have a time-pressing matter to attend to.
Clear out, Blue Boy. The New Republic isn't welcome here.
Sorry for dropping in unannounced, but if I'd given warning, your settlement would have cleared out before I ever hit atmosphere.
How did you manage to find us? Mandalorians pride ourselves on our secrecy.
Fortunately, someone I served with in the rebellion is amongst your ranks. Thanks, R5.
The entire covert will now have to relocate.
Or we could kill him. Stay right here.
This man cut me a break once, and now I'm returning the favor. Clear out, Blue.
Grief Karga sent this holo message. Navarro is under siege by pirates. He's asking for help.
Why are you really here?
They're about to blow Navarro to hell.
Then call in a strike. We don't even have ships.
Coruscant doesn't care. Karga's your friend. You won't let him die.
What's in it for you?
The New Republic has to know that the Empire is growing again.
And you think the Pirate King has something to do with it?
I can't say for sure. But something doesn't smell right. Look, it's not your fight. I just came to tell you your friend is in danger. And I thought you should know.
Many of you don't know Grief Karga, and those that do fought against him when you rescued me from his ambush many cycles ago on the streets of Navarro. Since then, he's had a change of heart and has risked his life to save mine, as well as the foundling in my charge. I stand before you to petition an intervention to help rescue Navarro before it's too late. I am in no position to ask for any more of you. However, The enemy that decimated this very covert were Imperials, not Grief Karga's bounty hunters. Grief Karga is now a high magistrate and has offered me a tract of land on his independent world. Perhaps it is time for us to live in the light once again, on a planet where we are welcome, so our culture may flourish and our children can feel what it is to play in the sunlight.
Does anyone else wish to speak?
It's up to them now.
I do. I was there on Navarro that night. I fought against Grief Karga and his hunters. I saw my brothers and sisters fall at the hands of the Imperial butchers that hunted us in the sewers. I saw many die to save the life of this one tiny foundling. And now we are asked to sacrifice yet again. The question we should be asking ourselves is why? Why should we lay our lives down yet again? Because we are Mandalorians. I have had my disagreements with this man, but he risked his life to save my son. And Bo-Katan Kryze did not give up on my child's life, even when the rest of us did. These two are asking us to take up arms in the name of a brighter future, and I, for one, will take up arms to fight by their side. This is the way.
This is the way.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you, and especially to our fine Mandalorian liberators, to whom this planet is forever indebted. Mandalorians, I know that we have been on opposite sides in the past, but that is behind us. From this day forward, I, Magistrate Grief Karga.
Hi, Magistrate, sir.
Hi, Magistrate Grief Karga. Hereby cede all land from the western lava flats to Bullock Canyon to the fine people of Mandalore. You may no longer have a home planet, but you do now have a home. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, and thank you.
This was once the forge of our covert. I have been to the great forge on Mandalore.
I remember the forge well.
It was large and ornate. The air rang with the music of 100 hammers. And here stood a simple one. Yet they were both forges. They served the same purpose. Remove your helmet.
But
do you respect my station?
I do.
Remove your helmet.
Thank you.
our people have strayed from the way, and it is not enough for a few to walk it. We must walk it together.
This is the way.
We must walk the way together. All Mandalorians.
I understand.
I was taught that the Mythosaur existed only in legends. And yet, you saw it. It is a sign that the next age is upon us. Mandalore must all come together. You have walked both worlds. You are the one who can unite us. Bo-Katan Kryze is going off to bring other Mandalorians in exile to us so that we may join together once again.
But she shows her face.
Bo-Katan walks both worlds. She can bring all tribes together.
Excellent. And thank you guys for hanging out. That was probably a really long clip because I only played one clip in the first half hour, in the first hour of the show, when I usually play more than one clip, so I was a little behind. I had to catch myself up. And I do tend to go a little clip heavy on The Mandalorian because I just love it. But I'm sure you guys could really kind of see the storyline, see where it's going, and now perhaps all the stuff that Sweepy was saying kind of makes sense now. All right, so I am going to drop Hatter's poem, and I'm going to drop Hatter's poem. So, all right.
Did anybody else think there was three or four times during that bit that I thought it had over and it was you narrating? It sounded like you. Didn't it?
Oh, no. It's not me, though.
Bo-Katan sounds a little like you.
It did.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I love her, so I'll take that compliment. This is the way.
I almost commented when she was talking, thinking it was you.
No. But that's awesome. Okay. All right, Hatter. Sky.
Okay.
Oh, look at
this
that.
Is probably not going to make much sense since I didn't know the ins and outs and the who's and where's, but
it's okay.
We'll see how it goes.
Awesome picture, by the way.
It's called Sky, or more like Sky. It goes like this. My people scattered throughout the verse, settled in circles to make it all worse. Danger arrives too late to see, to find the way through these galaxies. Mandalore sweeps for the ones that keep it, the memories lost at sea, chased on the tracks that never look back. I'm thinking it could be me. Mapping the travels amongst star gravels, a path that will lead us home. While standing here troubled, knee-deep in the rubble, I dreamt I was alone. Holding the faith of those that came first, praying I cannot make it all worse. So listen for the words that whisper your name. It shall be your quest in this galactile game. Galactile. I think I made up a word.
I'm always making up words. I thought this was wonderful, and I didn't think it was scattered at all. And for someone who doesn't know the Mandalorian, I thought you did it quite well. And I thought maybe perhaps you feel a little more confidence with that after we did talk about the kind of themes and where the storyline is going. Because when you say my people scattered throughout the verse, they are. They are scattered.
Well, I did listen to the one little thing there, the clip. Took notes.
Yeah, so I think it's perfect. And when you say settled in circles to make it all worse, and I think what that makes me think of settled in circles to make it all worse is that the different groups of the Mandalorians are all settled within their own circles, yes. And they're kind of making it worse because they're scattered, because they're all in their own factions. If they're not bounding together, if they're not saying, hey, let's get together and be more powerful together rather than scattered and weaker, and it is making it worse because if they banded together, they would become more powerful. So I like how you say settled in the circles because it reminds me of how people can go around in their own little circles and or in figurative circles or literal circles and doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, of course. And yes. Instead of saying let's break through the norm and let's fix what was broken, that has been broken for decades, and let's get our planet back and let's work it out. So I think it's perfect, especially for that. Really, really. And then, okay, while standing here, it troubled me in the rubble. I dreamt that I was alone. Another great line. And I think it is also giving to that, too, because in a way they do. They all feel like their factions are alone. They feel lost and like they are in a rubble because they have to have underground, they have to have, they basically have to have hideouts, and they don't have a home, and their home is complete rubble. So I think it was perfect. Raconteur, what do you think?
Oh yeah, you definitely get it. You've got the confusion of the splinter groups, but you know the power of the unity. If they would to just you know. Pay attention and throw their own interpretations away and settle on this is what it's supposed to be, you know. It's like one says don't wear the helmet, one says wear the helmet. You know they can't agree on the most basic of this is what the tradition was built on, and so how can they ever expect to get back together? So you talk about unifying and you know him feeling alone. You've got all that emotion wrapped up in that, and you know that's the gist I think of what the whole thing is about. You know, it's like we need to band together, you know, and that's kind of what's missing from this whole thing for them to be you know their station, their place.
I lucked out.
I never get that expression. Is it like you lucked out? You used all the luck now you're out.
You
lucked in.
He got lucky.
Yeah, but isn't that you lucked in? You know, like you got.
There's a lot. It's like the. There's a lot of terms like one that everybody. My mom used to use it. It's how you end a sentence about something you say should have said it first. Never mind.
They'll think about it by the end.
I had to take some pain pills earlier. Sorry.
You lucked out.
That's okay. It's okay.
No.
I am.
It's whatnot. It's a whatnot. And whatnot. Yeah. What the hell?
Whatnot. Yeah. Excellent, excellent poem, Hatter. And I'm actually going to go right into another clip because my clips were very, not that I mind at all, but we were talking a lot in the first hour and only one clip, and so we were a little behind, so I just got caught up. So I am going to play another clip.
I noted that I was not there.
Oh, no. It wasn't for it was because there was chaos. I called in, and then Deb read her poem right away, and then there was then I left because my phone froze, and then there was just so much chaos. So my and my clips are heavy tonight, so it was just
heavy.
So it's okay though, because it's gonna be low key. We're gonna sit back, we're gonna enjoy another clip, and then we're gonna listen to Stephen's SoundCloud. And it's going to be, at that time, it's going to be about time to end. So it's going to be a very low-key night. Not that I don't like to talk to y'all, but tomorrow night, there'll be lots of time to chat. So I'm going to go ahead and press this clip and
maybe chat at least.
Yeah, we'll be chatting tomorrow on the Land Before Time. So those clips aren't as heavy, and they aren't as heavy. Okay, here we go.
Mandalorians are stronger together.
No misguided zealot possesses the blade. One, I might add, who has not one drop of Mandalorian blood in his veins.
Din Djarin took the creed and chose to walk the way, just as our ancestors did. He is every bit the Mandalorian that they were. Certainly as much as any of us.
But according to our ways, the ruler of Mandalore must possess the dark saber.
Then she shall have it. This belongs to you.
It's not a gift to be given. No matter how well intended.
It's not a gift. While exploring Mandalore, I was captured, and this blade was taken from me. Bo-Katan rescued me and slayed my captor. She defeated the enemy that defeated me. Would this blade then not belong to her? Would it not belong to her?
It would.
Blade to its rightful owner.
Time to retake our homeworld. Even though the planet is not cursed, there are still dangers. Dormant species have been awakened from the bombing. The remaining magnetic interference has made it impossible to scan the surface from above atmosphere, which is why I'm proposing that we leave Navarro and move the fleet into orbit above Mandalore. We send down a small recon party. We'll scout the surface, find out what remains of the Great Forge, and establish a safe perimeter. Only then will we bring down the others. I need volunteers from both tribes.
I will go. Grogu as well.
I will go.
I will go. I will go. I will go.
I will go.
I will go.
I will go.
I will go.
I will go.
I will go.
I will go as well.
We do?
You wear the crest of the Night Owl.
I should hope so. They're Mandalorians.
Is that the voice of Lady Bo-Katan Kryn?
It is.
Not forsake us, Lady Bo-Katan.
We have failed you, but our blasters remain in your service.
They intercepted any ships they saw leaving. They took no prisoners. They bombed every surface twice over. They punished us. It's a warning to the whole galaxy. Because we refuse to surrender.
That's not true. I did surrender. After our forces were annihilated in the Night of a Thousand Tears, and defeat was imminent, I met with Moff Gideon. The ISB had reached out to me to negotiate a ceasefire. In exchange for submitting to the Empire and disarming, all remaining cities and Mandalorian lives were to be spared. That is how Moff Gideon came to possess the Darksaber. I didn't trust him, but it was the only chance I had to save our people. And then he betrayed me, and we were helpless to resist the Purge of Mandalore.
How did these others survive?
We were hidden on the moon of Concordia.
Are you Death Watch?
Death Watch exists no longer. It's shattered into many warring factions.
Our people have suffered time and again from division and squabbling factions. Mandalore has always been too powerful for any enemy to defeat. It is always our own division that destroys us. You were right. It was selfish. And this is what it wrought.
We'll rebuild it. Isn't that our history? For thousands of years, we have been on the verge of extinction. And for thousands of years, we have survived.
I don't know if I can keep everyone together. There's too much animosity. And this blade is all I have to unify our people.
I only know of this weapon what you taught me. To be honest, it means nothing to me or my people. Nor does station or bloodline. What means more to me is honor and loyalty and character. These are the reasons I serve you, Lady Kreese. Your song is not yet written. I will serve you until it is.
Thank you for gathering the Mandalorians into one place. You were a talented people, but your time has passed. However, as you can see, Mandalore will live on in me. Thanks to your planet's rich resources, I have created the next generation Dark Trooper suit, forged from Beskar alloy. And the most impressive improvement is that it has me in it. You see, every society has something to offer. The cloners, the Jedi, and even the Mandalorians. By aggregating the best of each, I will create an army that will bring order to the galaxy. Why don't we take your fleet off the board? While we still have the element of surprise. Activate the interceptors and bombers.
No!
My clones! We're finally going to be perfect. The best parts of me, but improved by adding the one thing I never had. The Force. I was isolating the potential to wield the Force and incorporating it into an unstoppable army. You smothered them before they could draw their first breath.
Bo-Katan Kree. What's it going to be this time? Surrender? Or fight? Darksaber is gone. You've lost everything. Mandalorians are weak once they lose their trinkets.
Mandalorians are stronger together.
I swear on my name and the names of the ancestors.
I swear on my name and the names of the ancestors.
That I shall walk the way of the Mandalore.
That I shall walk the way of the Mandalore.
And the words of the creed shall be forever forged in my heart.
And the words of the creed shall be forever forged in my heart.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
To speak, so he is too young to take the creed. He must remain a foundling.
If his parent gave permission, couldn't he then become a Mandalorian apprentice?
Yes, but his parents are far from here, if they are even alive.
Then I will adopt him as my own.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Let it be written in song that Din Djarin is accepting this foundling as his son. You are now Din Grogu, Mandalorian apprentice.
This is the way.
You must leave Mandalore and take your apprentice on his journey, just as your teacher did for you.
This is the way.
Oh my gosh, so freaking cute. I love when he's given I love when he's given the talk to Bo-Katan and he's like, your song hasn't been written yet and I'll stay by your side till it is. I'm just like, oh, is there like a budding romance here? I don't know. I would definitely support it. All right, long awaited. I've got a poem from Stephen, and he looked at the board, and of course, so Christopher Lloyd does a cameo in the show, which I thought was just so brilliant, and he's a bad guy, so it's so funny, but Christopher Lloyd does do a cameo, so he did a poem, and an IMDb poem, which we love to say over at A Poetic Slice. We would always say, okay, I'm going to do an IMDb poem, and we kind of coined it. And so he kind of paid homage to the actor, and I'm just going to read his author's notes before I play his audio, just so that the audience has a little bit of placement here. He played homage to Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Addams Family 1 and 2, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Taxi,
Ibnowski,
Paranera 3D and the 3DD, The Mandalorian, Senior Moment, and as of the writing of this piece, only 11 actors and actresses have played both Star Trek and Star Wars. Star Trek 3, For Search of Spock, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So he made a Star Trek connection. Of course he did. All right, okay. So Christopher Lloyd. All right, here is Stephen's poem. And thank you for the audio, Stephen. I really, really appreciate it. And there we go.
Yeah.
And I had it here, and now I don't. One second. Okay. I have to.
Got it?
So it's all that. No, no, I don't. So, I don't get back to it. It was just right here. Steven! All right.
In the studio? In the studio or?
Someone talk about something. Because I don't know. I don't see it here.
She's trying to find the way.
Oh, no, I got it. I got it. Okay. No, I got it. Okay, ready? Right. Here we go.
All righty then.
If this is the way, who's got the curds?
This is the way.
And these are the curds.
The Star Trek Connection by Steven 76.
If a tree falls, there's a...
Okay, I'm just going to play that again. Please no one talk during his audio.
Sorry, I thought that was Rex talking. Sorry.
The Star Trek Connection by Steven 76.
If a tree falls, there's a sound. The bigger the tree, the bigger the sound.
Although with Kras Cowboy, he has never worked. His roles have brought smiles, laughs, and smirks. From crazy old scientist to asylum inmate, sweet balding uncle to rabbit ruffian magistrate. A drunk taxi driver and toothy fish sport, blind supporter of darkness or captain's cohort, but a Hollywood rarity that is held by this dude was his crossover role of Klingon Lord Krieg.
Prepare to board this ship on my next signal.
No tricks, Kirk. You have 1 minute.
No tricks. I'm looking forward to meeting you.
End poem.
All right. I didn't mean to yell at you guys, but I'm like, I don't know if you could hear it because the music is kind of low. I didn't know if you realized that the audio was going. So I love the soundtrack we got in the background, which I'm assuming is Star Trek. I'm not very good at that. But I just, and of course, I'm going to have to say Back to the Future was my favorite shout out. I didn't even know he played in Star Trek, so that was pretty awesome. I love how, again, you brought in the Kras Cowboy, so you're always bringing in Han Solo. And, I love how you always bring in Han Solo. And I love how you pay homage to Christopher Lloyd, and he is someone who is just a staple, in the homes of people. I mean, he's such a wonderful actor. And I love how you're like from a crazy old scientist to the asylum inmate. Sweet balding uncle to rabbit ruffian magistrate. I thought that the way that you rhymed and was very clever, and to be able to put in certain shout-outs to his films and characters that he has played was just absolutely brilliant. And I liked the clips that you did within it. That was so cool. Thank you so much, Steven. What did you think, Rex?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to do a montage of the parts that he played. There's certain things, like this guy was saying, you don't realize that he was in it. It's like, he was in Cuckoo's Nest, wasn't he? And then, so some of the other ones are a little more famous. But yeah, and he's got that voice and a presence to him that just makes him, like a real standout when he does appear, So he's a very venerable actor, and he deserves the shout out. Beautiful piece.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Rex. And Hatter?
Yeah, they say Jim Gaskin is the he's a better, I mean, a very good director also. I like the way he tied it all in, too. Yeah, he's easy to spot. Playing the Klingon in Star Trek. I believe it was Voyager. I wouldn't have thought to do that, but they are very good.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Hatter. All right, I want to thank Raconteur, Sweet Pea, Deborah Lee, Hatter, and Stephen for all calling, sitting in SoundCloud, being part of the conversation, and enjoying a lot of my clips today. They were very smushed into 1 hour, but I really hope you enjoyed it, and I hope, you know, you walk away and you're like, this looks like a really cool show. I think I want to watch it, like, actually fully through.
I walk away thinking that chick's pretty weird. In a good way.
that's what I walk away from myself all the time like that. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to see you tomorrow, and tomorrow there'll be more time for chatting because I don't have such crazy clips. But have a good night, and have a beautiful day tomorrow. We're getting snow here. It should be – I think it's supposed to be snowing right now. Oh, it is snowing right now. There's all snow all over the cars.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. That is such snowing.
We actually have an Arctic blast. We have a northern blast in California right now.
So, it's going to continue snowing till tomorrow. Oh, and it's okay. I don't think it's going to be enough snow for a shovel, but my shovel is in my old apartment still, so that will have to work itself out. So have a good night, and thank you.
Thanks, nice guys. See you guys. Tomorrow. Bye.
This is Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Not yet. Not quite yet.